The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. Today on the podcast, I would like to welcome Michael Evans. He is a licensed clinical social worker here in Hot Springs in private practice, correct?
Yes.
Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I moved to Hot Springs in 10th grade and went to Lakeside and then graduated from there, went to UCA, got my bachelor's in psychology. Then went to seminary, actually, got a master's in divinity and was a pastor in the United Methodist Church for 8 years. And then we left the church in 2002, moved back here. And then I went back to school and got my master's in social work because I really had a heart for counseling and therapy, and that's really what I wanted to do. So I'm glad to be in private practice and working with couples and individuals.
Yeah, so, and I think that couples therapy is kind of what you're wanting to talk about today on the podcast. And I love that because, honestly, there aren't a ton of us that do couples or families even. A lot of us do individual. So couples therapy is such a needed resource, right?
It absolutely is. There are not a lot of therapists who want to get into the mix with couples because it can be complicated and it can be overwhelming for folks.
And it does take a special therapist, really. And if you're going to do couples therapy, you really should, find someone like you who's really specializing in that.
Yeah, it really helps to get some extra training. I started working with couples just out of school and realized I was in over my head pretty quickly. And so I looked around and found relational life therapy, which was pioneered by Terry Real, who based his work off the pioneering work of Pia Melody. So he really took her work with individuals and trauma and applied it toward couples. And that was very appealing to me. And it's different than your traditional couples therapy, but it really fits with my style and how I like to do things.
All right, so for our listeners, let's just kind of do some basics. You say it's different than traditional couples therapy, so let's just touch on what is couples therapy, and then how is your RLT, I'll just say that, how is our RLT different?
Well, what couples come in telling me is that they've been through a lot of couples therapy, and what it usually boils down to is coming in and griping about each other for an hour while the therapist sort of referees.
Tries to mediate between that, yeah.
Right. And we're a little bit different in that we are directive. We do take sides. In RLT, we don't shy away from the issues. Because to ask a couple how they think they should handle a situation is probably not going to be very helpful. Because if they knew how to handle a situation, they'd probably be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So once we really understand the pattern and the dynamic between the couple, then we really dig in with them to try to focus on solutions and things they could do differently, some off-ramps from their losing strategies that they've been using.
So what are some mistakes that you see couples making that perhaps brings them into therapy?
So in RLT, we talk about five losing strategies that couples employ.
Five losing strategies.
And these are common. I've added a sixth one of my own that I see quite frequently. One of them is the need to be right.
No, I can't imagine that causes problems.
couples often need to be right. I often say you can be right or you can be married.
Yeah.
You get to choose. And when a couple is entrenched in trying to be right, really what they're arguing about is whose version of reality is more correct. Mm. We call these objectivity battles. Anytime I can boil an argument down to yes, you did, no, I didn't, that's an objectivity battle. For example, a couple may be driving down the road and the passenger may say, you're driving too fast. And the driver's going to say, no, I'm not, it's fine.
Right.
Yes, you are, you're driving too fast, slow down. I'm not driving too fast, I've got the car under control, I've had this conversation with my wife many times. That's an objectivity battle over whose definition of too fast
right.
is more correct.
Right, because both are correct. There's no wrong answer there, right? Yeah.
Well, it's really about you have your experience mm-hmm. in the situation and I have mine. And one is not superior to right. the other or more correct to the other. They're just different. I often say, have you ever gone to a movie and one of you loved it, one of you hated it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course. Well, who's right? Well, nobody's right.
Right.
It's just different. So that's one losing strategy. Another losing strategy is trying to control your partner, trying to demand that your partner give you what you want or need. The problem with that is people don't like to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I get what I'm demanding from my partner, there's going to be payback, either direct or indirect, either aggressive or passive aggressive.
And that builds resentment in a relationship, right?
That absolutely builds resentment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that leads to the next one, which is retaliation. The classic example of that is my partner has an affair, so I go have an affair, so they'll know how it feels.
Yeah.
It's really a perverse form of communication. I'm trying to communicate to you how hurt I am.
But I think it's oftentimes not that obvious, though, right? I think sometimes almost unintentionally we're going to try and get that retaliation, hurt them. You know, you've hurt my feelings, so I'm going to hurt yours, right?
Exactly. And couples often get into what I call a pattern of withholding.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, my partner isn't meeting my needs, so I'm going to withhold from meeting their needs. And when couples get into that pattern of withholding, it can be very difficult to venture out of it.
Yeah.
And then often what happens is they'll move into another losing strategy, which is we call unbridled self-expression.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
This has been tagged the barf bag approach to communicating with my partner, where I store things up for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then I reach a tipping point and I just explode. Couples will often say, I'm just being authentic. I'm just keeping it real. Well, no, you're not just keeping it real. Really what's happening is you're damaging your relationship
mm-hmm.
and your partner by spewing your emotions everywhere. It really comes from the idea from one partner or maybe both that I have the right and the need to share my feelings with you spontaneously and unfiltered. And it's that unfiltered part that's the problem. I want you to share your emotions and thoughts with your partner. I want you to be authentic in that regard, but I want you to share your emotions. I don't want you to act them out.
And I know there's you have a couple more things, but whenever I'm listening to this, I'm specifically thinking, so are you teaching, like for this step, are you teaching them to communicate appropriately? Is that how that would work in therapy? Okay.
Yeah, the basic format with RLT is we spend a lot of time in the beginning understanding what's going on with the couple, understanding the pattern that's between them. The framework is that it's the partners aren't the problem. Partner A, you're not the problem. Partner B, you're not the problem. The problem is this dynamic that's between you, this pattern of relating that you've gotten into.
But you would agree that most couples feel like there's someone blaming, you know, he's the problem or she's the problem. We need to come to therapy because she's doing X, Y, Z, right?
Right. Usually partners bring their partner into couples therapy because they want them to change.
They want you to fix them.
Yes. Fix my partner. Yes. Change my partner.
Right. Right. And unfortunately, it's usually you that needs to self-examine and perhaps, you know, do the fixing, which is hard for people. That's hard.
It is absolutely hard. I will say in the very first session to every couple, I want you to focus as much on changing your part in this pattern once we've identified it, as much as you are fixated right now on your partner changing their part.
Mm, I like that.
Because that leads into the other losing strategy, which is making my partner the problem.
Exactly.
Your partner isn't the problem. The problem is the problem. And the problem, as we identify it, is this pattern of relating in between you. Partner A does something. Something happens and partner A responds in some way. Maybe they withdraw. And then partner B sees that withdrawal, experiences that withdrawal, and then responds to the withdrawal in some way. Maybe they angrily pursue.
Mm.
Right? And then in the midst of that anger, then partner A withdraws even further. And partner B just gets more angry because they feel rejected and hurt and left out. And so they pursue even harder, which causes their partner to withdraw even more. And then often what happens is the angrily pursued partner will finally give up, and then they'll retreat into resentment and anger. And that's kind of the bad strategy between those two partners. So we really try to help the couple, once we understand the problem and have it well defined as far as this pattern between the couples, then we do some work to identify where this pattern comes from. Where did you learn this? Who did it? Right. Who did it in front of you? Who did it to you?
Perhaps you modeled your parent. Your parents modeled this behavior.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so once we understand the pattern and have a good sense of where it comes from, then we'll do some family of origin work. One of the things with RLT that we do is we do trauma work with the partner present. And that's different from a lot of therapies. Now, there are some caveats to that. It has to be a safe relationship. There can't be any domestic violence.
Right.
The partners have to be able to have some level of safety with each other. I would never do this with a couple if there's domestic violence,
right,
for example.
Because that's the trauma, right.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. I would never ask a partner to be vulnerable in front of a partner who isn't safe.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do a lot of work in the beginning to identify that and make sure that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, you know, pretty much kind of your standard couple, we'll do trauma work in front of the partner. And that can be very healing for both of them.
Because we're being vulnerable, right, in front of our...
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because in your experience, are these couples deeply love each other, right?
Oftentimes they do.
But sometimes not.
Well, a lot of times they're not sure if they do or not, right?
Okay.
Right at the moment. But most couples start out with some sense of love and bonding toward each other, although not always, of course.
But I feel like the fact that they're making the effort is a huge positive toward the relationship, right? I mean, the fact that... But I think... So let's talk about kind of perhaps a misconception about couples therapy. If your partner comes to you and says, I really want to do couples therapy, I think we kind of get defensive and we're like, oh, no, does that mean we're about to get a divorce, right? Or are you fixing to divorce me and this is kind of like a last-ditch effort, right? So speak to that a little bit. Like, how do you approach your partner and is it a sign of a divorce?
It can be. But hopefully not. I mean, there are those folks who come into couples therapy. They really know they want out of the relationship, and they're just doing this to say they tried.
Yeah.
There are those folks out there. But most folks are really genuinely sincere about wanting to repair their relationship. We say all relationships go through a pattern of harmony, disharmony, and repair. The problem is most people don't know how to repair.
Right.
They don't know how to go through that process. They don't understand the vulnerability that it's going to take. They don't understand the willingness to put their reality aside for just a minute and really understand where their partner's coming from. In men especially, in our culture, we struggle with how to repair. Because
you're fixers. Men are fixers, right?
We are fixers. We like to fix things. We try to fix our partners, and they often don't want to be fixed or need to be fixed. What most partners need is to be heard and understood. And then instead of getting into an objectivity battle about who's right or who's wrong, let's focus on solutions. Let's focus on, let's hone our negotiation skills. And out of a place of love and acceptance, try to find something that will work for both of us instead of getting entrenched.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for a free consultation, 501-620-4800.
Let's go back to this driving scenario that you kind of started the session with. How could that be resolved in the moment?
Well, one of the things that I work with couples on is how to express themselves to their partners in ways that aren't blaming, aren't shaming. Pia Melody likes to say if you can say something with a bony finger, it's blaming and shaming. And that's probably going to be met with defensiveness. Mm-hmm. If I say to my partner, you're driving too fast, they're probably going to get defensive about that. And then their defensiveness gets met with my anger and frustration, and then we're just off to the races at that point.
Right.
So it really work and help couples how to express themselves in ways without blame, without shame, with love. We talk a lot about how to stand up for yourself with love. Some couples believe I either stand up for myself or I fold. So I either am passive or I'm aggressive. And we really focus on how can you stand up for yourself
with
your partner.
It's not that black and white, right?
It's not that black and white. So standing up for yourself with love is one of the key skills that we talk a lot about and explore. We're really trying to help them find off-ramps to their what we call the bad deal, which is that pattern.
So in the car, I'm envisioning that perhaps the wife could say, you know that, I don't know. So perhaps that should be your, because I'm just thinking, like, I could say, you know, it scares me because of perhaps an accident or something that happened, you know, whenever you drive fast. Come from it from a feeling versus a accusatory statement?
Well, what I try to help couples do is to own their reality as theirs. One of the things we talk about early on is we're all grown-ups in here.
But are we?
Well, ideally we're grown-ups in here, and that means that I can take care of myself, you can take care of yourself, and I'm responsible for my reality. Now, what do I mean by my reality? I mean, I'm responsible for the data I take in, my thoughts about that data, the emotions I have about that data, and then the things that I do and the ways I behave based on the thoughts and the emotions that I'm having because of the data. Now, my interpretation of the data is always based on my history. And that's why couples can have such disparate views of the same situation. because they have very different histories. Mm-hmm. So even though the same thing is happening, they are interpreting it very different ways. They are giving it very different meanings based on their history. Their history with each other, but also, of course, their family histories. So that's why couples might get into an argument where one partner says, they often say, "You made me so mad, you hurt my feelings." And the other partner will say, "Well, I wasn't trying to, I didn't mean to." "Well, you did, you hurt me." Right, now they're into an objectivity battle over whose reality is more correct. So we really work with the couples to express their reality.
And it, because in truth, both realities are correct.
Both realities are valid.
Right,
Part of the posture that a partner has to take or needs to take is the posture of I hold my reality with humility.
Right? I love that. Because hold my reality with humility.
In our culture, we get very bound to our feelings, quote unquote.
Our ego, yeah.
Right. Don't tell me how to feel. Mm. Well, this is the way I feel, and that's all there is to it, and don't try to tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
That's fine if you're talking about an emotion, angry, hurt, sad, pain. But usually what people are talking about is they're talking about their thoughts, their interpretations, right? So I feel like you're being a jerk. Well, no, I'm not. I'm not trying to be. Yes, you are. That's the way I feel, and don't tell me otherwise. That shuts down communication.
Mm-hmm.
So what I help couples do is to say, here's what happened. Here is my interpretation of what happened. This is what went through my mind about that. Here are the emotions that I had because of my thoughts. And maybe here's what I did because of that, or maybe here's what I would like because of that, or maybe I would like more input. So, in the driving situation.
Okay.
If I was driving, and in my case, my wife was riding, and she says to me, let's say she says to me, "You went past the turn." Everything else that happens is contingent upon my interpretation of that statement. And if I hear that and I think, she's being a jerk. She thinks I'm stupid. She thinks I don't know how to drive. She thinks I don't know where we're going. She's never supportive of me. She's always critical of me.
It sounds like shame. You're feeling shame.
Shame, hurt, anger,
yeah.
Pain. Yeah, yeah. And because of those thoughts, now I'm having those emotions, and now I may react out of those emotions, right? So what I work with couples, we talk about what's called the feedback wheel. So I might say to my partner, "Honey, when I heard you say that I went past the turn, what went on in my mind was that you're critical, and that you're always criticizing me, and that you're not very supportive. And now I'm just feeling angry and hurt. And I'm just thinking I want to go home." And then to ask a very important question in that moment, is that what you intended?
That's good.
Right? I hold my reality, I express my reality, but I don't cling to it. I hold it with humility. I don't demand that my reality be my partner's reality. Mm-hmm. I just say, this is my reality about it. Let me share it with you and get some feedback on it. And that gets my partner to say, "No, Goofy.
I didn't know if you knew the turn was there."
Yeah, I thought. Yeah. I just thought maybe you'd zoned out while you were driving, and that's why sometimes when we're going to Walmart, we end up at your office.
Because we've done this before, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that feedback, if I'm open to it, then begins to change my thoughts about it. Oh, right. She wasn't just being critical; she was trying to be helpful. And yes, I have gone to my office when I was supposed to be going to Walmart. In fact, I almost went to my office today instead of coming here.
Yeah, because we have these habits and routines. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I can take in her.
We all understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can take in her reality about it, and let that begin to be in information about my reality about it. Now, I'm still going to be keyed up for a little while because I've gotten myself all keyed up.
Right. But what can you control? Right.
Exactly.
She did not cause you to get keyed up. You have gotten yourself keyed up. Right.
Right. Right. The phrase "you made me" or "that made me" is really out of bounds mm-hmm. in my office. We want to take responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. Here's my interpretation of what happened, rightly or wrongly. Mm-hmm. And here are the emotions that I made myself feel based on my interpretation. Now, I'm not automatically saying that you're wrong about your interpretation. You might be spot on.
But in the benefit of the marriage, we're going to learn different tools, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to express that to my partner in a way that's not blaming, not shaming, that my partner can hear, that they're less, my partner's less likely to be defensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes a partner will say something to another partner and they'll be like, you know what, yeah, I did kind of do that. And I see how hurtful that was to you, and I'm sorry. And,
yeah.
And I'm going to work on that.
It sounds like we're just trying to get to that next level. Right. So the surface level relationship communication, let's get to the next level where we validate each other, validate each other's feelings, communicate, try to understand. And isn't that what we all want of our, you know, someone that gets us, someone who has our back and is there for us? And, you know, it comes, I believe, in my experience, it comes from making it through the hard times. You know, it comes from going through the stuff that if you're willing to go to therapy and work through these things, that's how you get to that next level and have those beautiful relationships. You know, I work in grief therapy, and I see a lot of widows and widowers who come after being, you know, married for 50, you know, 60 years, and they come in, and it truly is a worthwhile lifelong endeavor to have a beautiful marriage.
Yeah, when couples come in, I always ask them what they want, basically, from yeah. the therapy. And 9 times out of 10, as you know, they will say, I want to communicate better. And while their communication could use some work, probably, really what they're asking for is, I want to communicate in such a way that I can feel connected
yes.
to my partner.
It's
what we're really wanting is connection.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of work in RLT to try to facilitate connection between the partners.
Yeah. And I know for me, I would just encourage people that it's going through this stuff is how you build those lifelong lasting relationships. Life is hard, right? Life
it really is. And relationships can be difficult because we bring so much that we're not usually aware of into a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just the two partners in a relationship. It's their histories. It's previous partners. It's family of origin. We bring all of that into yeah. the relationship. And it can really muddy the waters and cause a lot of hurt feelings
yeah.
and cause disconnection.
Yeah.
So really want to work with couples to focus on how can we reconnect?
So
how can we repair?
So real quickly, because as always, we're out of time much sooner than I would like to be. But just give some advice for perhaps someone who's listening that would really like their partner to come to couples therapy. Is there some way to kind of facilitate that in such a way that they wouldn't be defensive? Or
I would say bring it up sooner rather than later. The number one mistake I think couples make with regard to couples therapy is coming way too
yeah.
late.
Yeah.
Way too late. Those resentments have hardened, and one or both partners have 1 foot out the door, and I'm not going to say it's too late, because I work with a lot of those couples, and, mm-hmm. and they can have very successful outcomes. But boy, if you could come sooner.
Yeah.
Rather
develop
than later.
Those skills in the beginning so you don't get to that point, right?
Absolutely. Developing those yeah. skills and those relational skills. And when you talk with your partner about it, try to own your own part in it as much as possible.
Love that.
You know, I've noticed that in our relationship, I tend to do this. And I really want to work on that, and I think it would be great for us to work on that together. And again, don't make your partner the problem.
Love it.
Keep the problem the problem.
And you're not necessarily the problem either, right? You know,
absolutely.
The problem is the problem, right?
The problem, as we define it, is that pattern.
Absolutely. Wow, good information, Michael, about a couples therapy. Again, Michael Evans, a private practice here in Hot Springs. Tell us a little bit about how we can get in touch with you. Are you accepting new clients, those types of things?
I do have some limited openings right now. The best way to contact me is really through my website, which is evanscounselingcenter.com. You can find out a lot more about me, a lot more about the modalities that I use, a lot more about RLT, couples therapy. Also do a lot of trauma work with individuals based on PMLD's model. So go to my website. You can learn a lot about me and what I do. And then you can also request an appointment through the website as well.
Yeah.
But if you'd rather call or text, you can do that. The number is 501-701-0088. And I'll certainly respond to that as well.
Any social media, Facebook, anything like that?
I do have a Facebook page, Evans Counseling Center, but I will tell you the email's got a lot more information than the Facebook page does. I'm not a big Facebooker.
Yeah. It just, you know, people will tend to look, just kind of Google person, you know, or be on Facebook and be like, I wonder if they're on there. So, well, again, thanks, Michael, for coming. Wonderful conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.